Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Tyler Jason Bailey, and you are listening to Stardust Radio. Woo!
Hello, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Stardust Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is July 10th, 2008, and I'm your host, Joanne. Couple of notes. I just want to remind everyone that starting next Monday will be the General Hospital Night Shift Season 2 week. We're going to kick it off with Ethan Raines, followed by Jason Thompson, and finishing up the week with Bradford Anderson. So don't forget to set your reminders for that week. Okay, well, we've reached the official end to the Sexy Men in Daytime week, and I'm pleased as punch to say we've saved one of the hottest for last. He portrays Remy Boudreau on the Emmy Award-winning show Guiding Light, and I want everybody to please welcome Mr. Lawrence St. Victor to Stardust Radio.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you, Lawrence?
Wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm glad to
thank
be
you.
Here.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
So I wanted to see if you remembered me. We met at Prohibition.
Yes.
At the Saturday softball game.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
yes.
I was glad that you agreed to come on. I was very glad.
Oh, of course, of course.
Well, let me just say that, let's start with just a little bit of background, because I was so honest with you and told you that I was an ABC girl my entire life. I never really watched CBS, but I've been doing my research and trying to watch every day and looking at my clips and stuff like that. So let's just do a little background. You grew up in Rockland, right?
Yes, I grew up in Rockland County in the town of Spring Valley.
Mm-hmm. My brother actually lives in Rockland County. He lives in New City.
Okay, yeah, that's like 2
over,
seconds away.
Like right
from
near
where
the mall or something. Yeah,
yeah,
not
yeah,
too
yeah.
Far away from the mall. Mm-hmm. And you went to SUNY Purchase and you graduated with a BFA in acting and you're recently married, less than a year. Congrats
yes,
on that.
Work. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a big step. How's married life? Different,
married
right?
Married life is good. I mean, no, it's different. I mean, it's it's the I like to call it completion. It's the complete deal,
mm-hmm.
but then from here, there's a lot of work to do, you
right.
know. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, good. Well, congratulations on that. I'm very happy to hear that. And then, now, what I want to know about you, when did you know that acting was what you wanted to do? I mean, did you do stuff as a child? Did you participate in things like that? And when was it that smacked you and said, I want to be an actor?
I've always kind of, I think, had the bug. I just never,
mm-hmm.
like I'm the first in my immediate family person to be, like, I guess, about the arts. So
okay.
I didn't have that type of go, Lawrence, try this. But I was always playing characters. And when I would have my comic books, I would choose a character in the comic book and read his stuff out loud as if I was in it.
That
and
person.
I always played and stuff like that. And in high school, there was this drama department, but I was an athlete and stuff, and that wasn't so cool in high school. So when I went to a community college before I went to SUNY Purchase, I'm like, listen, I've always wanted to do this. I watched television and movies and seen plays, and it's like, this is something I want to try. So I jumped into it, and it's amazing because I loved it, and then from there I went on to SUNY Purchase. But
mm-hmm.
it's always been something that's kind of been on the inside.
Right, right. And you're a big comic fanatic.
I am.
Yeah, I saw that you had the big Superman cape on during the softball game. So, yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So who is your ultimate favorite comic character?
Well, Superman. Superman,
oh,
I have
okay.
to give it out. Yeah. Yes.
That's good. That's you collect the comic books? You have collections and, like, real collection pieces? Or?
I do. I have some stuff. I have some good collection pieces that I have some that I haven't even touched. When I was a kid, I was crazy about it. I used to wear latex gloves with some comics and won't even get any. I was so stupid. Now
that's
I just,
so
you know, I just read for the pleasure of it. But I do have
right.
some comics that are like in a secret special place.
Right, yeah. Right. My nephew's like that. He's very into comics, and he actually started writing his own little comic books.
Wow.
He's going to be 16 years old, and he's extremely into it. Very good artist, too, so hoping that he'll be able to do something with that. That's good. I think Superman and Batman were his favorites, mostly growing up also. Definitely.
That's great.
Yeah.
I could draw. Now, if I could draw, I probably would have done it, too. But I don't know.
You know, it's amazing to me, people who can, like, my sister, she can draw really, really well, and she never did anything with it, and to me, it's just such a waste of talent. There's so many people that wish they could do what you do, and you know what I mean?
Definitely.
But thank God she passed it on to her son, because he's absolutely using it. So that's the good thing about it. But, now, I was reading that you dedicate a lot of free time to the Christian organization Speak.
I did. That was pretty much a college. That was in college.
Oh, okay.
Because when I landed Guiding Light, I still was in college. I was in my last semester. But now I do a drama ministry at my church, World Changers Church, New York. So similar but different place. Yeah.
Okay. And what is your role in it? I mean, what is your role in the group? Like, you take children and or like mentoring and stuff like that?
Well, what we do in the World Changers Church, we have different ministries. Our ministry is like before the pastor comes out and preaches, you know, you have the choir singing. And I'm part of the drama ministry, so we'll have a scene that would go up. That would kind of show people pastor's message, but take that message and put it into daily life. And through what we do, we act out the scenes so they can kind of see themselves in these situations and how they can get out of them. So that's the part I play in it right now as an actor. I also have written some scenes and just trying to use the talent that God gave me and also, you know, my way of giving back, you know.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. I get excited when I hear stuff like that. I think it's fantastic when you guys do stuff like that. I had Tobias Trevelyan on Monday, and we were talking about the things that he does.
Yeah.
He said that about you, too. I told him you were coming on. He's like, he's such a good friend of mine. He's like, I got to call him. I was like, okay. we were talking about what he does with the Michelle Thomas Admiration Society, and I think it's fantastic that you guys get involved and you know, people see, that's like pretty much the purpose of this show is to let people see, not only, you know, hear about what's going on with your career, but to kind of get to know you on the other level, you know, that they normally wouldn't see and see all the activities and community things that you guys participate in. So that's really great to hear.
We're so blessed in what we do. Like what we've been given and the opportunity just to be a working actor and be on daytime and have these amazing stories is such a blessing. So, you know, we got to give it back in some way, shape, or form because, we could be in some of those situations that we're helping. All it takes is just a twist of fate, and you could have been here instead of there, you know. So
exactly. Yeah, you know, you're right about that. You know, even though you guys lost at the softball game, you won really, really big at the Emmys. Congratulations to Dina and Tom. That was awesome. You went to the Emmys. You had a good time?
No, I didn't go this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, our show, you know, like just throughout just soaps in general, the money's kind of different. And our show, they sent out all the nominees, and whoever wanted to go can go. There would be a ticket, but we would have to pay for our flights, which was understandable. Mm-hmm. And this year I was like, you know what? It's a saving. I just got married. I just had a wedding. I'm like, I can't. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm going. The wife's going to want to go. I can't be like, you stay home. So supported them
from
the television set. but about that softball game, I just want to go back to that softball game real quick.
Yeah.
They definitely, I don't want to say cheated because that's a harsh term, but did you notice in the last inning, like, none of their ladies went up and all the same guys went, like, in a row? And we're like, wait a second.
I did kind of see that, but you know what, too, though? I was running around that that those bleachers like crazy. So honestly, I really missed probably half of the game just from walking up and down those stupid bleachers, trying to take pictures of you guys and, you know, trying to get down to that dugout. And by the time I got down to that dugout, yous were all gone.
It was a hot day.
Yeah, I know. And I live in Florida. So when I came up to New York, I'm from New York. I'm from Yonkers. So I was expecting a nice, cool day, you know, nice summer day, not that Florida heat. And I felt like it was just ridiculous. So I was mad as hell that I was running all over that place, sweating unbelievable. But, yeah, by the time I got down into that dugout, yous were gone. And then when I saw yous at the Prohibition, I had no shirts left. I had nothing left. I was like, oh, God. I was like, I really want to expand into the other networks, and I feel like an idiot going over there because I never really watched. But, you know, I mean, I get such a tickle out of, you know, uniting fans with their favorites if I can. I said, you know, there's no reason why I can't do CBS and NBC and stuff like that. I just have to learn the shows. It's a little bit more. Yeah. But I felt like an idiot coming up to you guys. I was like, I walked away,
and I told my aunt.
I said, oh, God, they probably thought I was, like, the biggest dork. I had nothing for them other than this stupid card. Oh,
no.
I was so mad at myself.
The thing is that the fact that you support ABC, I mean, yeah, okay, it's, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, where we're competing networks. But at the same time, if you support All My Children, if you support General Hospital, in your support for daytime, you're also supporting us, too. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like we
I believe
need
in
them.
Daytime, period.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're all together. If CBS just tanks, then ABC is going to follow because we're all in
mm-hmm.
this genre together. So, no, you support us. You support us. We're with you.
Well, I've been watching I watched a couple of episodes when I got back to Florida, and I'm actually in the middle of a move. I'm relocating back to New York, but
wow.
I'm moving further up. I'm moving up to Buffalo. So I'm trying to pack up 10 years of stuff before the end of July, and I haven't even really been watching ABC. I've just been, you know, catching clips here and there, reading recaps, you know, before my guests come on, kind of cheating a little bit, you know. But once I get settled and stuff, I'll get back into it. And, and Buffalo's the next step, you know. I can't sit in one place for too long, but I miss New York, so it's a good
come
place
back.
To start again.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I miss it. I definitely miss it. I've been gone way too long. So let's see. I did do some research on your character, and this is what I got so far. Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Remy Boudreau has always tried to be the good guy, but that was an issue for your father. You never did enough for him. He wanted to be a musician, but his dad wanted him to be an athlete. You had an injury. But somehow you found out that your father was a musician and he wanted to keep it a secret, which I don't know why. This is just stuff that I've been picking up off the net, you know, trying to do research on your character. Then fast forwarding to what's going on now, when I started watching, when I came back, your character is evidently in love with Ava, and she just married Bill Lewis. I watched that, you know, little clip. Now, what I want to know is, why did she marry him? She went and got pregnant at a sperm bank, and everybody's really mad. So, because she perpetrated that it was Bill's kid, is that what it is?
She fell head over heels for Bill about, you know, some odd months ago, and she really, really wanted him, and you know he's hung up on Lizzie, and I get it twisted. I think she thought she was pregnant. It didn't work. She found out she wasn't pregnant, so she's trying to she poked holes in some condoms.
Oh, okay.
She's trying to get knocked up by other guys, and
just so she could marry him.
So she can kind of lock him up. I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the meantime, your character is in love with her, but she looks at you as just a friend. Now, I watched an episode, I think it was where she, it was before the wedding, and you had just finished a paramedic course or EMT or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you, you're an EMT on the show now?
Yeah, Remy became an EMT, and actually, Ava, the day of the wedding, Remy goes up to her and tells her how much he loves her, and she tells him that she feels the same way, and she still marries Bill anyway.
Okay, I did see that, yes. I saw a little piece where you went up to her and said that you were in love with her, and I didn't see what she said, and then I actually just watched a little bit of today's episode before we came on the air, and she was talking to her baby saying that she did have feelings for you, but it is what it is, and we're all going to be, you know, these happy friends. But in the meantime, her husband is in love with this other girl, Lizzie.
He is. He wants the image. Like he wants to be this political. He wants to have his business going. So he wants to have this perfect family. He doesn't want to have this child with this other woman and, no, he wants the perfect family so much that even when he finds out the baby isn't his, that she got it from a donor, he's like, you know what? In the public, we're going to look like this pristine couple here. We're going to sleep in separate rooms. It's whatever. And it's like Ava had to decide true love with Remy or what she thinks she wants or needs with Bill.
Right.
He chose the latter.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, I also saw a clip coming up that you and Lizzie are going to try and find out who the donor is.
Well, I can't say too much, but...
That's okay. You don't have to tell me. You know, I'm just trying to catch up here.
It's interesting. As of right now, we don't know who the donor is at all. And it gets interesting. It gets real interesting. That's all I'll say.
Why do I have a feeling that baby's going to come out with a nice tan?
What are you saying? I didn't say that.
That's my feeling. That's my perception. That's what I'm saying. I don't know nothing about this soap, but, you know, I've watched soaps long enough to know that, you know, when something like that comes up, this is exactly what happens. And she made a reference... Well, I did it the right way, and I made sure that the donor looked exactly like Bill, and I made sure that the baby's not going to come out with flaming red hair. So when you hear a character say something like that, your ears go up, and you're like, okay, it's going to come to, you know, it's definitely going to be somebody that they know. And they had did this a similar storyline on one of the ABCs with Ryan and Jake on All My Children. They did this whole sperm bank thing, and Liza came out thinking it was this one, but it was really that one's, and so it kind of like, I guess to a trained soap head, that's just what I pick up.
I'm saying nothing.
You don't have to say anything, but I'm definitely going to watch and find out. I'm just trying to catch up, there. So it's very interesting. Now, a lot of people... I've been reading a lot of the boards also, just trying to get a feel of what people are talking about. And I understand that Guiding Light recently took on a new format of filming, and you're doing locations. You're filming in New Jersey now?
Yeah, we film out in Peapack, New Jersey. So all our outside stuff, we're all outside all the time. We never do outside, but we're inside studio stuff that we don't. If we're outside, we're outside for real. And all our sets are built with a fourth wall, so we don't have any more of the three-camera setup. Now we have all handhelds, and we're all in real rooms, and we're really outside,
And how do you like, because a lot of the boards that I read, people were a little uncomfortable with the change. A lot of people complained about the sound quality, and they were trying to get used to the cameras shaking around and stuff like that. And I don't know. From what I saw, I kind of like it a little bit. You know, my children did something like that a little bit too. You know, they changed their format of filming. And you know, I really didn't have an issue with that. I actually like the location shoots. I would rather see you guys outside than with some fake grass and a beach.
Right. And And that's the thing. It's like our executive producer, Ellen Wheeler, said this. She was like, when she first told us about the switch, is that daytime was never meant to be gated. It was never meant to be stuck in the studio like this. It's just that when primetime and other shows evolved as far as technology, for whatever reason,
right.
we just stayed in the 60s, where it's
right.
like, no, we're supposed to evolve also, and we have all this technology available. And I love it. I love it. I feel like our scenes become more intimate now because we're not playing out towards the camera. The cameras are coming in close to us, so we're allowed it to have more of a subtle moments and quieter moments because, you know, not everything is big. And now our cameras are able to go inside with us. And it's a work in progress, like figuring out the sound and stuff. I mean, this is the first time this has been done on daytime. I mean, other shows have done on-location stuff, but to consistently do on-location stuff for every episode 5 days a week, period, that's just what we're doing. It's not a special episode. It's the first time, so there's going to be a learning process. There's going to be that journey, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it looks... It gives it a more realistic feel to it. I mean, soaps, I don't know. I guess because everybody feels, you know, soaps are so, oh, gosh, I don't want to say cheesy, but a lot of people do say that, you know, all the sets are cheesy, this is cheesy, that's cheesy. I mean, even ABC has pretty much tried to move on with that technology, but they're not on locations. They do the green screens.
Right.
And, you know, and if that's what you do, that's what you do. And you know, General Hospital's made some strides with that. I liked, you know, a lot of their scenes that they did with the green scenes and stuff. And but I really, I did take to what you guys are doing.
I mean, there's something like doing a scene. And it was one of my first scenes out there. It was me and Jessica, the girl who plays Natalia. And we were just sitting on top of the car hood outside, and we were just talking, and You can't, I mean, as an actor, you know, we can create our environment, of course, but when you're walking outside in the park and that wind's blowing and you move that piece of hair out of her face or we're feeding swans in the lake.
Yes.
And
you
can't get that in the studio.
No,
or
you
have to build a serious set then.
To have one, right. No, yeah, you're right about that. I like the realistic feel of the whole thing. People are saying that daytime's trying to go primetime. You know, they're changing. You know, nobody wants daytime to go primetime. I don't really think it's so much that they're going primetime, and I think it's what you said. It's about changing the technology, and that's pretty much it. Daytime is always going to be daytime. You know, they don't do stories on primetime the way that they do them on daytime.
And the reason why, I mean, as far as technology is concerned, the only difference between daytime and primetime is that daytime, one episode a day. Primetime, one episode a week or a week and a half. But other than that, as far as the equipment and technology, we're all on television.
Right.
We're all on the major networks. So
exactly.
But then I get it. I get it. People like their soaps the way they grew. You know, you've been watching a show for 30 years, and it can be kind of jarring to different.
Yeah, but you know what? That people have to grow up too with it. You know, they have to learn to move on with it. I still watch on SoapNet in the mornings. I still watch Ryan's Hope. And
to
watch those sets compared to what's going on there today, it's really, really, I mean, it's such a major difference, and it's grown so much. I mean, I couldn't see reverting back to those old sets, and then you see sometimes, you know, you'll see the mics come down into the actors' faces. It's really funny to watch. it's really funny, but I am so for the changes. I think it's a really good deal.
We had, and for daytime, I mean, and it was different back then. You know, you had soap operas, a game show, and maybe the news.
Yeah.
But now you have, you know, you have soap operas on in the daytime, but then on, you know, USA or TBS, you have Law and Order, and then you have MTV.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much competition, so it's like we're not just on our own anymore. We're competing
right.
with prime time during the day. So we have to balls, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You did didn't you do an episode of Law and Order?
I did, yes. Yes, yes.
Yes, that's one of my favorite shows. I love Law and Order. I love all three of the series. I don't think I've talked to a soap person yet that has not done an episode of Law and Order.
It's like a rite of passage in New York, I hear. You're either going to do, I mean, when NYPD Blue was on, it was like, either going to do Law and Order, NYPD Blue, if you're in New York. It's like a rite of passage, the taking of the torch. And
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I love Law and Order. I watch it all the time. Oh, I try to now. I mean, God, I don't watch as much TV as I used to, but I definitely love that DVR, that's for sure.
Oh, it saves my. Oh, I wouldn't see anything without a DVR.
I don't know what I did before this. Honestly, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
I watched your trailer for William's Pain. When
you
is that
did.
Coming out? I did, and I loved the trailer. But then what happened? It said it was coming out online in June, and there's nothing there.
It said June now? Is that what it said?
Yeah, it said June.
It's in that post-production jail cell. We finished shooting that, officially. We had to do some other stuff, but in January. And I don't know how long it's taken them to do it. You know, it's a low-budget independent film. Work with some great people, excuse me, but I've been waiting. I'm waiting, too. I'm wondering what's going on, too. But,
I went on to the WilliamsPayne.com, and it said coming online June 2008. And I was like, hello. I looked at my calendar. I was like, wait, in July. I was like, okay, they need to change that. But, no, it looks really good. It really does. And I have the synopsis in front of me, actually. And I think it's a fantastic turnaround story to see the man's point of view, because women do have that perception that, you know, once a man breaks up with a woman, it's like, you know, women feel that they just kind of walk away and they can move on, you know. Look, I've been there so many times in my life, so I would be anxious to see something like this and see the other point of view.
We don't let you guys know we're going through it, but we definitely go through it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So no, I'm anxious to see this. This looks really, really good.
Oh, thank you.
Who did you get involved with to do this? How did this come about?
Well, with this project, I was doing Guiding Light, and I wasn't working as much, so I was like, you know what, let me grab the backstage, and it's a newspaper that comes out with all these auditions, because it was in the time of the writer's strike, so everything.
Mm-hmm.
So daytime just got to, I mean, as far as daytime, we're still trying to catch up with all the time we missed in the writer's strike, and there was no auditions, and I'm like, I need to act. I need to keep my tools sharp. So I just found this audition.
Right.
Independent film. I said, hey, you know, free practice. And I got involved. And it was just an amazing project. I worked with this amazing actress named Sonequa Martin, who's just, you know, sometimes you work with some people who just bring it so hard, you're forced to just grow as an artist yourself.
Right.
So it was an amazing experience. And I can't wait. I want to see it, too.
So that's good. You definitely have to keep me posted on that, because that's something I definitely want to see. I'm not really a big movie person. I'm not a big, you know, it's really sad. I'm not. You know what? I, honest to God, really have no time to sit down and watch anything. And when I do have the time, I'm so nervous about something having to pop up right in the middle of it. It really annoys me. So I would be the one to sit and watch a day of Law and Order of episodes that I've seen over the last 10 years before I watch something new.
Really?
I swear. I had Sonia Eddy on last month, and we were talking about the same thing. And, you know, as far as movies and stuff, and she's like, you know what, Joanne, you're just a creature of habit. You know, don't worry about it. But, you know, it's true. I really do need to just catch up some more. It's so sad. I'm hoping that once all this move goes through and my life is not in such disarray that I'll be able to sit down and...
Yeah, you have a big move ahead of you. So
oh,
I'm
God.
Sure.
I finally just watched Pursuit of Happiness, okay? I watched that just last Saturday. Okay.
You like it?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Great.
I mean, it was a fantastic movie, but look at how long it's been out, and it took me that long to sit down and actually watch it. You know,
you
my
know
friend
what?
Was like, Joanne, you need to just sit down and stop, because I'm always doing something, so.
The fact that you just watched it, it's almost like I'm envious of you. Like, I heard this guy say once, he was talking to this kid who's never seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay.
And the guy was like, I envy you. I wish I can see that film for the very first time and go through what I went through the very first time, because you don't get that first time back. So the fact that you say you just watched Pursuit of Happiness, I'm like, man, I wish I can go back and watch it for the first time, because that first time. So movies are forever. You can catch up anytime you want.
Yeah, you know, so I was happy about that. I mean, I still got some stuff that I'm sure that's out there that I haven't, that, I mean, I know there's a million movies out there that I want to see that I just haven't had a minute to sit down and do it, but, you know, two kids and you're single, oh, gosh, there's not much time for it. That's why
it,
I do this show
is.
So late, you know, when they're in bed and they're not up my tail.
How old are your children?
Oh, one is 15 and a half, and the other one is 7.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
got a teenager
I mean,
in the house.
And they're both boys.
Oh boy.
Man.
Are they like, do they like the rough house? Are they the rough house type?
They are. And you know what's really funny is that my 15-year-old, he's kind of short for his age. He's like my height. He's probably like about 5'6", but he's like pure muscle. He's very slender, but he's pure muscle. But my 7-year-old, he's 4'5" and he
Whoa.
Weighs 85 pounds, and he
Whoa.
Can take my boy. He can take the oldest one like that. He is so huge. We actually, when I tell people that, they're like, "Damn, what does this girl feed her kid?" No, he's really very healthy. We went to the doctor, and his BMI is good, and you know, he's you know in a high percentile. And they told me that you know if he keeps going the way he's going, he'll be 6 foot by the time he's in puberty. I was like, okay.
Jeez.
He's just a very big bone child. I said, well, you know, he takes after his mother. I'm not that tall, but I'm definitely big bones.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a big boy, and they keep me very, very busy, you know. And my oldest one is out in camp. He's coming home Sunday, and it's just me and the little guy for the last month and a half trying to get this move together, you know. So, but, yeah, so it's been a little bit busy. Any plans for children with you and your wife?
Down the road.
Yeah. Oh,
down
gosh.
The
enjoy
road.
What you got, right? You know what? Absolutely. Enjoy what you have now before you delve into that. Oh, because
yeah,
what you do.
We have time. We have some time.
Oh, yeah. Before you're young. You're what? You're 26?
Yeah, 26.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, see, I had my first one when I was 22. I'm 38. So, yeah, I probably could have waited a little bit longer.
Hey, no, because now, you know, by the time your oldest is 18, it's like they'll be up and out. You'll still be moving.
Oh, I know, right? But they're fantastic. You know, kids are always great to have, and especially if you have two people that, you know, I have a friend that just got married and they're so dead set against kids, period. So you definitely have to be on the same page about that. But
absolutely.
I chose to do it the single way. I didn't want to be bothered, okay? My choice. I didn't want to be bothered. Okay, so let's see. I have a couple callers on the phone.
Okay.
Let's go over here to area code 516. Hi, 516. You're on the phone with Lawrence St. Victor.
Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. This is Terry. I met you at Prohibition with Gina Davis.
Okay. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful.
We were part of that little group that said goodbye to you from across the street.
Yes. You guys roll deep. You guys are a strong crew.
And yeah, that's us. I have wanted to know about the softball game thing you keep talking about, like ABC.
Okay.
And I mean, sound bit of grace. Come on over to ABC. We'll show you love.
CBS for life. CBS for life.
I did catch some of your scenes on Guiding Light, and they were really good. I'm kind of getting into your story now, so we have you on, so we can't be missing out on watching you on that show.
Well, thank you for coming over. Thank you for coming over to CBS.
Well, you know, we put it on the DVR, but, you know.
You watched it after you watched, you know, your ABC stuff at school.
Well, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, so.
Yeah, you're right.
But I wanted to know, are you doing any side projects, like, you know, trying to get into movies now, or are you just really just concentrating on this for, you know, that and your stuff with the church?
Well, definitely auditioning when they come up. I mean, things are still very slow coming out of the strike. That kind of slowed some stuff down. But a friend of mine, we're putting up a play in September in New York. Just being around creative people, because, you know, trying to work on our own projects and figuring stuff out for ourselves. And why wait for someone to give us something? If we want to shoot a movie, let's shoot a movie. You know, if there's time to do it, you know, let's do it. So, but as of right now, Guiding Light is taking the majority of the time, because there's some stuff coming up. There's some stuff coming up.
So, are you going to be kind of like looking around for the One Life to Live fan club events that's going on? I mean, we kind of got kind of some news. Are you going to Sean's party?
I'll be at Sean's thing. You know, Sean's my boy. Definitely going to support him. But other than that, you know, I can't have CBS thinking like, what is he doing over there? What's going on over there?
Just kind of casual come over and, you know, say, hey, you know, how y'all doing?
And then I'm the one that goes back home. I go back to the CBS building.
Oh, come on. We'll make sure you keep a job. Don't worry. We'll make sure you keep your job.
But you know what? If I'm invited, I would definitely stop by. You know, I don't want to step on nobody's toes and be like, what is he doing here? You know, but, I'm definitely going to be at Sean's event, which I can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there.
So with this Ava thing, why didn't you pull out your Superman cape and just, like, whisk her away and, you know, make her see how much you love her?
You know, Remy's tried that from time to time. He, you know, it hasn't worked out so well. This time he just decided, I love you. Take it or leave it, and she left it. But you know what? He found out that she lied about the baby anyway, so he's kind of like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with you right now. So it's good that he didn't sweep her away, because he would have found out she's kind of trifling. She's a little trifling.
Do you have any moments when you're looking at your script talking about, oh, come on now, you know, this brother should not be going through all this just for this girl who's chasing after another man who's really into another girl?
All the time. I wish Lawrence, me, could meet Remy, because I'd be like, dude, I know there's got to be some more girls in Springfield, man.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say was, if you ever talk to Gina Davis again, you can tell her that you're really Cherry's new boyfriend, and that she, you know, really needs to stay off your MySpace page.
Oh, snap! I'm not getting in the middle of this.
Did you see that? Did you see what she said to us on your MySpace page?
Of course I did.
And it's like they all keep trying to get into this. I don't understand. So, you know, you need to handle that with Gina.
You know what? There's enough love to go around.
I can accept that. Well, hopefully we'll see you in August at Sean's event.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, bye. Thanks a lot.
thanks for calling. Thanks for calling and chatting.
Well, you see these ABC girls want to pull you over to the other side.
They are trying to bring me to Pine Valley. I'm staying in Springfield, man. I'm staying.
I don't think anybody wants to be in Pine Valley right now. Pine Valley's getting kind of boring. They ain't got nothing but a bunch of murder whodunit deals going on over in Pine Valley. I think they want to take you over to Landview. Landview is where it's happening right now.
Landview. I'm staying in Springfield where it's safe. I don't know what's going on over there.
The Pine Valley and Port Charles right now are what you would consider like probably the murder capitals of the soap world, because somebody's getting killed on them shows every other day. So you definitely want to stay away from them. Oh God,
yeah, I'm
terrible.
I'm staying right where I know I'm gonna survive.
Terrible. I love my ABC, but they're doing some terrible stuff with these people.
But they're making
everybody.
You feel. They're making you feel in,
yeah, but
in
you know
highs
what?
And lows, you know?
Look, honestly, General Hospital, and I speak very freely about it, I do love my ABC soaps, but what they're doing over at General Hospital is just ridiculous. They're killing everybody. They killed off pretty much the entire Quartermain family, which was the core family of GH since the beginning. And I think it's down to like 3 members of the family left.
They just killed them off?
Pretty much, yeah. The only ones that are left are the head of the family, which is Edward Quartermain, Monica Quartermain, and Tracy. They killed off Alan. They killed off Emily, which was Natalia Livingston. And the rest of them, I think there was 2 other ones, and they just left the show. So, yeah, they're killing a lot of people off. They just did this whole big storyline where a kid got shot in the head. So people are really upset about that.
That's rough.
Well, you know, Port Charles is pretty much based on the mob now. It used to be where it was based around the people in the hospital with a little bit of mob activity. Well, the only reason that people are in a hospital now is because the mob keeps killing people.
The mob keeps killing people.
You know, I'm anxious to see what they're pulling off with General Hospital Night Shift 2. I'd like to see, you know, what's going on with that. But, you know, they need to make some changes and stop killing people.
It's rough because, you know, for the actors, it's like you don't want to get up one day, read your script, and find out you're going to get killed.
Well, they did the same thing in Landview. They did the same thing in One Life to Live just last month, Forbes March. I don't know if you know who he is. He played Nash on One Life to Live, and he has a huge fan base, and they just decided to kill him. So he's dead. He was married to Jessica Buchanan, which is Asa Buchanan is dead. Are you kidding me? They're all dead. They're just killing everybody.
You know what? They can come back.
Of course they can come back, but you know what? Even in the soap world, how many times are you going to bring people back from the dead? I mean, write them off, send them off to Costa Rica or something, send them off on a business trip, or, you know, Doctors Without Borders or something. You don't have to keep killing people. I think more people were annoyed with the fact that they actually shot, you know, did a scene of a shooting that was meant for a mob boss but ended up shooting a 12-year-old kid in the head.
Well, that's just rough.
They're like the little mini Sopranos over there now.
It sounds like it. I'm like, are we talking about daytime or is this like
HBO? Yeah, this is General Hospital.
Wow.
General Hospital.
I have to check that out.
Oh, yeah, it's like the little mini Sopranos. It's like, you know, in a lot of shows, they try and hide the mob from people who don't know. Oh, no, I'm not in the mob. I have a front. Everybody knows who's in the mob there. It's just like Mob Central, you know. It's like, oh, there's Sonny Corinthos. He's the mob boss. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a coffee importer. But I'll kill that guy if he bothers me. You know, stupid stuff like that. It's just, you know, a little silly. So it was a little refreshing for me to watch a show like Guiding Light, who doesn't have any of that nonsense. They have the soap stuff, the who's baby daddy and, you know, the conniving. You want to see stuff like that in a soap.
Yeah. We have had our fair share of deaths, but...
Right.
You know, one like Ricky Paul, who played Gus, who's now Jake.
On All My Children.
He got into a motorcycle accident, so it's still very much like something that could happen, like an unfortunate event that could happen to someone. You know, and we've had our stuff where, you know, someone died because it was a hit, of course, but we haven't had the killing sprees as of yet. No, thank God.
Yeah, and the thing I think different about that is that when you have a death like that by car accident or motorcycle accident, it makes it so much different as to when someone's pulling out a gun and they're just shooting you away. And that's what they do on General Hospital. Matter of fact, yesterday's episode, they just had somebody get killed again. I swear to God, Josh Duhon, who plays Logan Hayes, he just got killed yesterday. He just got stabbed in the stomach by Luke and Laura's daughter. So go figure. They just kill happy over there. I have a message in the chat room for you. Kizzy from New York, she met you also at the softball game, and she wanted me to tell you, she has a sore throat, so she didn't call in, so she wanted me to tell you that she wishes you all the best on the show, and thank you so much for being so sweet at the game, and especially taking the picture with her 5-year-old son that made his day, and as well as taking one with Sean.
Yes, Kizzy, thank you so much for your support. That softball game was amazing. Thank you for coming out and supporting the charity, and just thank you for taking the time out to listen and call. I definitely remember you. Your son is cool. He's adorable, and you know, just thank you for all your love and support.
She just wrote, now her little man is famous on Steve Bergman's website. The picture with you and Lawrence is on Steve Bergman's website. So that's really cute. She has a really adorable boy. I never met her before, but I do remember her from the game, and I saw the pictures. He's gorgeous, her son.
Gorgeous, and, you know, just so personable, and sometimes you meet little kids, you don't know how you're outside, there's all these people, there's cameras, there's all this stuff, and it was cool. He was like, hey, let's take my picture.
Oh, wow. All right, let's see. Now, do you have an official website?
I have a
Because I couldn't find one. I know you got MySpace, but I couldn't find an official website. That's what I wanted to know.
I don't have an official right now. I'm just using my MySpace page.
Okay.
Eventually I will, but for right now I just figure, you know, let me start off with a MySpace page.
Okay.
And see, you know, meet some people there. And I need to be, I haven't checked it like that in a little while. I've been so busy. So for all people who have contacted me through MySpace, I do check it. I do read messages, and I will respond. Even if it's been a while, I will respond. Just hang in there with me. I will be there. I read everything, and I thank all of you for all your support and love.
You need to update your MySpace page, too. I was reading some of the stuff. You got stuff back on there from 2007.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of stuff I need to
get some help, buddy. Do you have an official fan club?
I don't. And actually, that's the young lady that just called. They have a fan. They're a Fanfare Inc. Actually, and they are fan club. Like they will help and support its fans, certain actors from certain shows. So. I'm talking with them. I'm going to Sean's event, and I'm going to see how it is. You know, God, this is very, very new to me, so I'm just kind of going to see how this whole thing works. And,
Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good lady. She managed to get a lot of people under her belt in such a short period of time, and people seem to be really happy with her. When I first met her, she only had one person under her belt, and then within a year, the following year, I ran into her again, and she had, like, so many people, and so obviously she's doing
all
something
over the
right
place.
Somewhere. Yeah. So she's obviously doing something right somewhere.
Yeah, and I can't wait to just go to Sean's event, because what it really is, getting the fans support and getting them behind you. So I'm very interested to see how all that works, since I've never really seen it before.
Yeah, Sean is such a great guy, too. I'm still waiting for him to book my date. He was supposed to be on the show a long time ago. He's like ready to get a kick in his pants, man.
I'm going to have John to give him a call.
Yeah.
I
told him I'm going to rag on him as much as I can because he promised me so long ago that he was going to do this, but I know he's busy. He just finished doing that movie and Suge Knight and...
And I can't wait to see him in that because...
But he's got all my support always. I told him, as a fellow New Yorker, you have to stick together, and I'll tell you the same thing I tell everybody, especially when they're new with their fan clubs and stuff. As long as you keep it real with your fans, they're going to follow you everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere, and they'll support you every single where. Now, let me ask you, have you had any strange fan interactions?
Strange. you know what? I've been okay so far. I mean, you know, you have fans that give you hugs and kisses and stuff like that, and it's cool. Mm-hmm. But I've lucked out so far. I mean, I've heard stories. I've heard some stories, and I'm like, I've been doing okay so far.
So good. Yeah, I've heard some doozies from a lot of people. J.P. Lavoisier from One Life to Live, he told me he had a guy just randomly call his house and was like, "Hey, J.P., this is so-and-so. What's going on with your character?" And he was like, "Who is this?"
He was like, who is this?
And the guy was like, "Oh, I'm a loyal fan," and da da da. And he was like, "Oh," he said, "so I was very polite, and I had carried on a little bit of conversation with him, and was like, how did you find me?" And he was like, "I Googled you, and I found you." And JP was like, "I couldn't believe that this guy Googled me, found my address, found my phone number." And he's like, "So needless to say, I'm not listed. I have no more house phone," because 6 months later he called back. And I was like, "All right, I'm calling up to, you know, continue our, you know, bi-monthly chat." And he was like, "Okay," you know, so no more house phone to JP. There have been some crazy ones. People following you around grocery stores and...
You know what, come to think of it, that has happened to me, actually. I forgot.
Oh, okay.
At my parents' house, though, I was, it was so weird, the fact that I was there at that time. I was there with my wife, and, you know, going through some stuff, and my mom's hands me the phone. I'm like, "Who is it? Because, like, who's calling me here and not my cell phone?" And she's like, "I don't know, a friend of yours from school." I'm like, "From school?" Pick up the phone and say hello, and she's like, "Hey, Lawrence, hi, I'm a big fan of yours," and I'm like, "Whoa!" And it was you know, no disrespect to her, it was just kind of weird.
That's kind of stalkerish, you know. It's like they figure, you know. I mean, I found a lot of people who, since I got back into, like, I watched soaps all my life, but. You know, I mean, it's not like I never worked or went to school or stuff, so I didn't watch them all the time. I didn't always do VHS taping or anything like that. But once I started getting back into them around 5-6 years ago and started going to some of these events, I've met some people out there who honestly cannot decipher between television and reality. And they think that, you know, if they met you on the street, or say someone calls on the phone right now and says, "Oh, hey, Lawrence, I really support you," they're going to think, that person can possibly say, "Oh, yes, Lawrence, St. Victor, sure, he's my friend. I talked to him last night on the phone." And then they keep that thought in their head. And then it becomes, you know, the next time, "Don't you remember me? We spoke on the phone." And you know what I mean? It's like they think that you guys are friends after that, you know, and they can't, you know, put a line between, look, you're a fan, I'm an actor, I'll always respect you as a fan like you respect me as an actor. I don't know you that well. There's a lot of them out there, so many, and I've met so many of them, and it's just very intriguing to me on how some of these women can, and men, can honestly not realize the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it's folks because you see us every day almost, so it feels
I guess so,
But yeah, I mean, I'm a Denzel Washington, Will Smith, stand. I love their work, but I still don't necessarily see myself calling their house or
their house, right.
You know,
it's like, hey,
you know.
Giselle, let's go to lunch. Yeah, it doesn't really work like that. doesn't work like that.
Mhm. But
oh yes, there's a fine line between the fans and the soaps. But yeah, but the thing is that soap fans are really the most loyal fans on the face of earth. You got to give them that. You definitely have to give them. Now, do you have any fan events coming up?
We can talk about. We do. We have the
Tell me.
The official Guiding Light Fan Club Luncheon. I believe it's September 27th. Usually, we will have, that will be on a Saturday, so we'll meet all the fans and sign autographs and so forth. But the day before that, Bradley Cole, who plays Jeffrey O'Neill on the show, he has a little charity concert. I believe it's for Red Cross. And that will be on the 26th on a Friday. Then on the 27th, we have our fan club luncheon. And the following day after that, we have our daytime Stars and Strikes where we're there with the other shows.
Oh, the bowling
one, like,
thing. Okay.
Yeah, the bowling thing. So it kind of falls into our Guiding Light weekend. So, yeah, if anyone's interested and you're in New York, Saturday, September 27th, you can go to the official GuidingLightFanClub.com. And get all your information there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, good. I'll post that up on my MySpace page. I went and joined a lot of Guiding Light groups on MySpace over the last week, too. So guidinglight.com. Yes, I'm trying, Lawrence. I'm trying. I'm getting there. And I'll be in New York at that time, so I'm hoping that I'll be able to get down from Buffalo
to come.
Definitely. Definitely, I want to do that.
How long is that, like a 4 or 5 hour flight? No, that's like
Buffalo
80.
Buffalo is an 8-hour drive if you take a certain route, but you can actually make it in 6 hours. You know, it's actually cheaper to drive from Buffalo to Yonkers than it is to take a Amtrak. So I would definitely drive. Yeah. The prices on Amtrak were ridiculous. They wanted almost $150 a person round trip on an Amtrak.
Wow.
I was like, I don't think so. I can drive. My car, you know, my van is pretty good like that on the highway, so I would just drive down. So, and I still have a ton of family in Yonkers, so, you know.
Yeah, come down.
Hang out
with
in
them.
Manhattan and come up and whatever. But, yeah, no, definitely. I would definitely want to do that. Let me see. Before I wrap things up, we got 2 minutes remaining. I have one more caller, Maggie. She's my resident caller. She calls in every show. Maggie, say hi to Lawrence.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I don't know why it's done what.
I'm sorry,
I don't know why.
What?
I don't know why it's your dough. I only watch one web to reap.
That's okay.
We're not going anywhere anytime soon, so you can always come over to CVS and check out Guiding Light.
Check it out, Maggie, okay?
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Okay,
thanks,
Maggie.
Thanks for calling, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye, Kitty. She's so cool. She calls
mm-hmm.
every show. I love her. All right, well, we got 1 minute left remaining. So, Lawrence, I have to say that I'm so glad I got the chance to get to know you a little bit better and guarantee
pleasure.
That I will be watching and keeping up, and I'll keep in touch with you on MySpace and let me know what's going on. And you got stuff to promote, you know, shoot me an email and we'll definitely get it out there on the air for you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out just to talk to me and,
oh,
you know.
No,
and
thank it. You. I, you know what, this is a learning experience for me, so I enjoy it. I really, really do. And I look forward to trying getting other cast members from your show on. I'm going to wait until, like, September and I get settled up in Buffalo before I do, you know, like I took the last 2 weeks off of the last week of July and the first week of August off to get myself settled. But, I'm going to start sending out some more stuff to some of your cast members, so put in a good word for me.
I will. I absolutely will. It was fun. I love this. This is cool.
All right, buddy. Well, you have
right.
yourself a great night. Tell your wife thank you for loaning you us for the night. And God bless, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Sure. God bless you, too. All right. Good night.
All right, Lawrence. Good night. Everybody, thanks for listening to Stardish Radio. Don't forget to tune in on Monday for Mr. Ethan Raines, General Hospital, Night Shift 2. Night, and God bless.